So we left off last week. We were discussing some examples of ribbis derabanan. The reason why many of the things that we spoke about last week are not ribbis deraisa is because they're not ketutza, because they weren't really set into the deal itself. The only time that ribbis is deraisa, if it's ribbis ketutza, if it's literally agreed upon that I'm going to give X amount, X percentage amount, then and only then is it considered to be ribbis ketutza. If it's anything short of that, even though the lov is doing certain tovos for the malva, those are all going to be examples of ribbis derabanan. There is another classic example of ribbis derabanan, which we run into these shadows very, very often. Somebody borrows $100 from you, and then when they return the money, so they throw in a little gift also for good luck. You didn't ask for the gift. They didn't say it's giving you b'toras ribbis. But b'shas ma'isa, when they return the money, so instead of giving you $100, they slip in another $5 as a thank you. So over that's also a problem of ribbis. Again, it's not going to be ribbis deraisa because it wasn't ketutza. It wasn't set amount. I didn't require them to give it, but for sure that's going to be prohibited mid the rabbanan. It's no worse than any other tovas, any other things that the lova does to the malva. So this is a problem, especially b'shasa piro. We'll talk a little bit later about if the $5 is slipped in at a later date. But if it's slipped in b'shasa piro at the time that he's paying back the chov, this is clearly a problem, at least of ribbis the rabbanan. Are there any circumstances when this is permissible? So the poskim write that sometimes it's mutter, but basically the guiding principle as to when this is going to be mutter is if it's given b'toras matana. But not only is it given b'toras matana, it's so clear from context that this is a toras matana. It's so clear from what's going on, the way it's being presented, that it's not really as a thank you for the loan. It's really something which is separate. There's really some other reason why the person is giving the extra couple of dollars. What other possible reasons could it be to explain to him why he's giving extra money? So the post can discuss the following shiloh. I'd say very often I come to pay you back a loan. This has to be a $10,000 loan. If we have a very small loan. So I owe you $9.98. Why do I owe you $9.98? You went to the store and you bought something for me. So we sometimes don't think that's also a loan. If I ask you to go buy something for me, so when you go to the store and you lay out the money, so you're lending me the money. So now I owe you $9.98. So my initial reaction would be, as I give you $10 and I say, keep the change. $10, keep the change. Wait a second, $10, keep the change. That's 2 pennies worth of ribbis. So, that should be a problem. So we all know the person... What? Yeah, so, well, 2 pennies. Okay, we're making 5 pennies. Okay, depending on how much a prut is. There's a shiloh where the ribbis... The pasha says to be... Okay, that's an interesting approach to halacha, but... maybe, but I wouldn't want to say it publicly. So for a chanan's reason, we'll be very medayek. I don't know what the rate of pruta is now, depending on the rate of silver, so I'm not an expert on silver, but we'll make it $9.89. Well, 11 cents will be for sure more than a pruta, l'chol ha'deis. So I say to keep the change, what's the big deal? So wait a second, hold on, penalty marker down the plate. Looks like a ribbis problem. That I lent you $9.89 and now I'm getting back $10. That's 11 cents of ribbis. So we all know that the person is not giving it b'taras ribbis, the person is giving it b'taras matana, but alpha b'chein. Just because it's being done b'taras matana, that in and of itself isn't permissible. It has to really, really be nika, that there's really no other ulterior motive that's going on. So the post can give the following guidelines. That if it's such an insignificant amount, that the reason why the person is returning the extra money is because he doesn't want to be bothered to start looking for pennies to return you the change. It's not that out of the... because I feel this tremendous debt of gratitude because you lent me $9.89, and I'm giving you another 11 cents. That's really not what's motivating me. What's motivating me is... not gratitude, but laziness. That I don't want to go start to make a change. It's not worth it for anybody. You go in the store and you buy something for $9.99. So you don't very often you don't wait around for the extra penny to be given back. So the post came right. If it's such an insignificant amount of money that people don't really care about that amount of money, then it's nika that it's not being given b'taras ribbis. How much is considered to be insignificant? So the lady post came here with a shear. The shear is how much money if you would drop on the floor would you start to scrounge around and start looking for it? So we all know if you drop a dollar on the floor, you would probably bother to pick it up. If you drop a penny, and it's dirty, it's in the snow somewhere, you wouldn't bother to look for it. You drop a nickel, you wouldn't look for it. You drop a quarter, no, depends how many quarters you drop. But again, if it's a very, very small amount of money that's really insignificant, so then the post can say, we can assume that it's obvious that it's given b'toras lack of tircha rather than b'toras ribbis, and then it would be permissible. If it's anything more than that, then one really should be careful to try to give the exact amount. There's another common shayla that comes up. Sometimes I owe somebody money. Very often, when it comes to these kinds of shopping kinds of things, I ask somebody to go buy me pizza something. I'll pay you back when you bring me the pizza. So that's also b'taras halva'a. And the guy doesn't remember how much it was. He remembers he got a slice with it was extra with broccoli and extra cheese or something. He doesn't remember was it $3.75, was it $3.50. He doesn't remember. He's going to call it there. So I don't want to steal from you. I don't want to hold back money that's coming to you. So I give you the higher of the two. I said, listen, I don't want you to do any tithes. I give you 375. Maybe it's 350. Maybe it's 375. So look over, that should be a problem. Because if it turns out that the pizza was only 350, so then when I'm giving you the extra quarter, an extra 50 cents, an extra dollar, whatever the case may be, that would be a problem of ribbis. So here the poskim are also makil, that it's also clear from context that the reason why I'm giving you that extra money is not because it's ribbis. If you brought me a receipt, I wouldn't have given you the extra 50 cents. I'm giving you because I feel bad. I don't want to take away your money. So in terms of dinim mamonos, if you would take me to a din Torah, we'd say hamotzi mechavel of araya. You couldn't be motzi for me that extra money. Misafik mamonos lekula. So it could be mitam lo sigzol. I really don't have to give you the money. It's a suffik. Suffik mamonos my. I'm allowed to keep it. But afal pichay miyels tov. I don't want to hold on to money that's not mine. So the reason why I'm giving you the extra money is not b'toras ribis. It's only b'toras that I shouldn't be nizar. I shouldn't be nichshol and nishav gezeil chas v'shalom. So that's why that's what the poskim say. It's obvious from context that's not b'toras ribis. And therefore, it would be permissible as well. Maybe that would be okay. Also, I wouldn't say anything. I would just say that. Listen, I'm not sure how much I owe you. Was it $3 or 3 1/4? Just take 3 1/4, play it safe. That's it. I don't think you're mechuyev to say more than that. Folks can also discuss when you have situations like family members. This is a very, very common issue. You know, sometimes a person goes to the store for your kids, or your kids go to the store for you. So it depends if you or everyone's samach shulchanav. It's all the same money. Okay, so then there's no ribbis giving from one hand to another. But we'll talk a little bit later on about ribbis transactions between parents and children. There could sometimes be issues of ribbis between parents and children. But let's assume that brothers, sisters, parents, whatever, cousins, whatever it is, somebody who one big happy family, hopefully one big happy family, and I lay out a couple of dollars for you, I go to the store, now you want to give me back a little bit more, and it's clearly b'teras matana. Even if it's a little bit more than the 1 1/2 prutas that fell on the floor, it's a little bit more, but this is darka shalaylam that I go to the store for you, it's $3.75, I pay $4. Next week you go to the store, I'll pay you $4. So if it's that type of a setup where it's so obvious from context that this is not b'teras ribbis, this is just derech matana because we're one big happy family, so the poskim will make on that also. There are some poskim, not everybody's making, there are some poskim will make on that also. So again, the basic principle is that anything that's given b'teras ribbis mamish is absolutely awesome, no question about it. At least in the Siddur Rabbanan, it's not Ribbis Deraisa, because it's not Ketzutza, but it's at least the Ribbis Derabbanan. If it's being done, I'm giving to us a present, that in and of itself is not good enough. It has to be Nikar Mitoch HaMaisa, that it's given B'Torah's present, either it's a very, very insignificant amount, or it's given B'Torah's Sofek, or perhaps family members, maybe all those are possible exceptions to the rule.
Is there a difference between these two cases, that if I give you a $20 bill and say, please shop for me, and you shopped, and it cost $9.75 or $9.80, yeah, and now you bring it to me, there's an issue of the change. You give him $10 back, give him $10.25, you might not have the quarter, you might say, forget it. Or if I call you up and say, on your way down
yeah,
the block. Yeah,
a tremendous difference.
Please
yeah, in the first place,
up for me.
In the first case, it was no haval. In the first case, I gave you $20. If I said to you, here's $20, and you buy what I needed, and you could use the rest of the money for yourself, so then forget, then there's a haval from me to you. But if I give you $20, and I say, here's $20, and get me something and bring me back the change, I was never haval, you're just mashliach with my money. But if I call you up and I say, you please lay out the money to buy the pizza, and I'll pay you back, that would be considered to be a haval, and that would be a problem. The Gemara has another example of this, where sometimes it could be nikar a little bit mitocha ma'isa, that's not really b'toras ribis. The Gemara says in Ezu Neshek that Tamidi Chacham mutar mahavol zela zeba ribis. That Tamidi Chacham are permitted to borrow and lend ribis to one another. Why is that? What? You're allowed to eat trade from your Tamidi Chacham? So what does that mean? You're allowed to lend money of your ribis? So the Rishonim explain. But it means it's very simple, that the Tamidi Chacham who know, they learned Ezu Neshek, they learned tochas ribis, so they know the halachas, they realize how serious and avera this is. It's obvious that they're not giving b'toras ribis. It's obvious that they're giving just b'toras matana. They would never in a million years dream of giving something b'toras ribis. So therefore it's muchach that it's not, since they are such tamid chacham, it's muchach that it's not giving b'toras ribis. So the Rishonim write that we don't rely on this b'zman hazeh, because the Rimagash writes that we're not such great tamid chacham b'zman hazeh. So we don't want to, you know, label ourselves as such ayayay tamid chacham. This was the Rimagash who said this. And just in case you're wondering who the Rimagash was, the Rimagash was the Talmud, one of the Talmidim b'vok with the Rif. The Rif, most of his life was in North Africa, and then at the end of his last 20 years or so, he moved to Spain after he got kicked out of North Africa because there was some, it was the North African version of Crusades. So the kitzur, he had to leave town and he moved to Spain. And when he was in Spain, so he had one of his famous talmidim in Spain was the Rimagash. The Rimagash was the Rebbe of the Rambam's father. So the Rambam always referred to the Rimagash as his Rebbe, even though he may have seen the Rimagash as a little boy. They overlapped for a couple of years, but he didn't actually learn by the Rimagash. But since the Rambam's father, Rebbe Maimon, was the Talmud of the Rimagash, he always called him, he considered him to be his Rebbe. So the Rif apparently wrote somewhere, I don't remember where this is, was the Farish in the Rif, but apparently the Rif wrote somewhere that if the Rimagash would have lived in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, there would have been a toss-up who would have been Makabel Torah, either the Moshe Rabbeinu or the Rimagash. That was the Lashon that he said about his Talmud. So he knew how to learn a little bit. So the Rimagash writes that Pizman Hazeh, we don't have any Talmid Chachamim, so we don't want to take any chances on relying on the schoolers, so that's why we don't postulate this Pizman Hazeh. L'maisa, our minig is that we don't give any dispensation for Talmid Chachamim. They have to keep the Din of Ribbis also, and we don't rely on any of these schoolers. Anyway, but the Rami, yeah, the Rami quote, yeah. I don't know. So the later poskim say that we don't like to rely on this.
Can you use it as a pula?
As a svek speaker, yeah. If you have other svek speakers, you can throw it in.
Saying that on a Darbon, in other situations where you would otherwise be, questioning whether the transaction is acceptable, but.
If you're such a Talmid Chacham, it shouldn't be a suffix to you. You should be able to machria whether it's also a mutter. I'm waiting for a response after the Shia. Right now, let's get it. Okay. There is another type of ribbis, a very, very common shayla of ribbis.
If it's all coming to the Bastish and Adam, except if it's being Susa, so don't you always have a way out?
No, but that's the problem. That's what the Rishonim say you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to just stop to say like that. It's b'toras matana. It's not really b'toras matana, or it's not clear. It's a derabanan that it looks like it's b'toras ribbis. So the issa derabanan was that it looks like ribbis. So even though minatara, it's not ribbis because it's not ketsutza, but it looks like ribbis. So it's only considered to be not looking like ribbis if it's so clear for the context that it's being done for some other reason. There is another example of a ribbis derabanan, which we run into the shadow all the time, and that's what the Mishnah says in the end of Ezer Neshach, speaks about ribbis devarim. The Mishnah learns that, the Gemara learns that from a pasuk. It says, Neshach kol davar asher yishach afilu dibur asar. That even for the lovet to say words of bracha, to say words of gratitude, we'll see in a minute what that means, in lieu of a loan, that would be a problem. That's what's called ribbis devarim. The pashtus of devarim is that ribbis devarim, by definition, can never be d'oraisa, because it's not going to be ketsutza. That means, unless I say to you, okay, I'm lending you $100 on the condition that you give me $100 back and you give me a bracha. In a chenav, if you would make ketsutza out of it, then maybe it would be a ketsutza. But again, that's usually not what happens. So ribbis devarim usually by default will never be d'oraisa because it's going to be lack of ketsutza. This is in contrast to a way there is a difficult statement in Tosfos. There's a Tosfos in Daf Ches and Masechet Kedushin, where Tosfos seems to say, at least in one opinion, that ribbis ketsutza is d'oraisa, which is a peladik of Tosfos. It doesn't sound that way from the Gemara. It sounds like even though the Gemara quotes the pasuk called Dover L'Rabbos Dibur, it's only Nasmachta Bialma. But whatever it is, whether it's d'oraisa, d'rabban, l'maisa, it's also the Mishnah says beferish that one is not permitted to be involved in acts of words of ribbis devarim. So any kinds of brachas and things like that, any types of words would be a problematic. So the Gemara gives some examples of this. The Gemara says, let's say I lend somebody $100 and the person's not so friendly to me beforehand. We weren't best friends. I extend him a business loan. It's $100, $1,000, $10,000, whatever it is. And now, every time he sees me in shul, now he says good morning to me. He never used to say good morning. He was a very unfriendly guy. He never would say good Shabbos to me. And now, all of a sudden, because I lent him $1,000, so now he runs to go say good Shabbos to me. So that's a problem. That's also. So you have to either say good Shabbos to everybody beforehand, or don't become friendly after you borrow the money. Because if you become friendly, dafki, after you borrow the money, you're in violation of ribbis devarim. That's mamash the example that the Gemara gives. So there are many poskim who say that the Lashon HaGemara is that you're not allowed to be makdim shalom. That means if it's a person who never would say good morning to you before and then now he comes and runs to you to say good morning, that's a problem. But let's say he's a person who generally, we're never friendly, we never had a relationship before, and now I, the malva, say good morning to him. So does he have to be rude? Does he have to say, I can't say anything to you, I'm going to wish you a bad morning because I don't want to be in violation of a ribbis devarim, very, very religious. So I don't want to be nichshel and say good morning to you. So the poskim right now, that he's allowed to return the greeting. Lashon HaGemara is not allowed to be makdim shalom. Why are you allowed to return the greeting? Because the halacha is that if somebody says good morning to you, you're mechuyif to return their greeting. That's a din. That if somebody is makdim lo shalom, chayav lachzir, you're mechuyif to answer. You should always, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would pride himself on that he was always makdim shalom kaladim. He would always, even to non-Jews, he would be the first one to always say good morning to everybody on the street. But if that's the right thing to do, that's the midas chasidus to do. But if somebody does extend a greeting to you, so to turn around and not to respond, somebody says good Shabbos to you and you don't respond, so that's not a problem. That's an aveira. So that's what the poskim write, that if the person said good morning to you, the reason why I'm responding good morning is not because I love him because he gave me the loan. I don't want to violate the yisr of asal hachzal shalom to be a bal aveira. So that's a different context. That's a different reason why I'm saying good morning to him. So if I go jump and I go run to be makdim lo shalom, so I'm not mechuyif to be makdim shalom. It's a nice thing to do, so I should have done it all along. But if I never did it, and now I do it because he gave me a loan, that's a problem. That looks like ribbis, and that would be the violation of ribbis devarim.
There must be some time frame.
We're going to talk about this, about ribbis mucheris, about ribbis that's paid back after the loan is written.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. I mean, not too much later. What are some other examples of ribbis devarim? So the Gemara says that all kind of different lashonos of brachas are problematic. So that the lova shouldn't start running around giving brachas to the malva. So what are some practical examples of this? So this was a big machlekes aposkim about the words thank you. The words thank you considered to be a Torah's bracha or not. So there were many acharonim who had this problem with this. Many acharonim who said that when a person lends you money, you should not say thank you. When he lends you the money, you shouldn't say thank you. And you should, when you give back the money, you shouldn't say thank you. Just give back the money, that's it. It's the same, a very unfriendly person. Look at the Mishnah in Bava Metzia, Ribbis Devarim, man, I'm not going to say thank you to you. You don't have to tell him you're not going to say thank you. You shouldn't say it. So there were some poskim who said that you shouldn't say thank you. So others were mekel. There were poskim who were mekel that thank you is not a bracha. If you start to, you know, really pile it on, you know, thank you, you should be zoicha to, you know, Arichas Yom Vishonim and all of brachas, Yivrach Shem Vishmarecha, give him a Shabera. Okay, that you should leave out. But just the token thank you, that's just that's B'Torah's common courtesy. That's not B'Torah's a bracha. So that's a machlekes aposkim. There was another shaila, which was a fairly common shaila, and that's as follows. Let's say a person lends you money for some project or something. So the example that the post can give is a person wants to write a sefer, so he needs money, someone to sponsor it. It's lavda for a sefer, could be anything else. So somebody's giving me $10,000 to write a sefer, so I want to acknowledge that the person lent me the $10,000. So what do? So in the opening page of the sefer, so I put in a big, this person, you know, should have a zatzloch and everything, and the schus of his messiah and the rabbim, for other projects as well. So the person lent me money, and I want to acknowledge the fact they lent me money. So is that a problem of ribbis devarim or not? So Rav Moshe had a very, very, very mechudish tikka kula. Rav Moshe writes that the issa of ribbis devarim is that I'm not allowed to be mevarachim. So if I word the bracha, Rav Moshe, I think Rav Moshe was machmer the thank you, if I'm not mistaken, because the thank you is coming from me. I'm giving you a hatzlach, I'm giving you a bracha. But Rav Moshe says, if I word the bracha in such a way that I'm just davening that the Rabban Shalom should give you a bracha, so the Rabban Shalom's not have to keep ribbis. So he's not the lover, so that's not the problem. So says Rav Moshe, you should word the thank you as follows. You write in the sefer that Raplenia sponsored the sefer, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu should be Mimale, come Mishalas Liba L'Tayiv, and the Rabban Shalom should send them Arichas Yom, and the Rabban Shalom should send them Zereshach. Me? I can't stand the guy. I have nothing to do with the guy. So Rav Moshe writes, as long as the bracha is worded in terms of wishing him the best from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that would be okay. So other poskim, I think they quote from Rabbi Yashiv, other poskim today had very serious issues with this problem. What does it mean that I'm wishing HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless you? That's what every bracha is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Makor Kol HaBracha. So whenever you give a bracha, I can give you a bracha. I can give you a bracha. I can just give you a bracha. The Baruch Hashem should give you a bracha. So others weren't happy with this Pesach Ramosh. Again, so different opinions about this. Where do you draw the line? What's considered to be Ribbis Devarim and what's not considered to be Ribbis Devarim? So one has to be careful with this. Again, it's not going to be a Diaraisa. It's most probably never going to be Ketutza. But Afal Bichain, it's still a Beferish or Mishnah. And one, it's an Asmacht. So it's a Chomer Din Deravonim. One should be careful not to violate this. So again, according to some poskim, you can be makel just a quick thank you. According to others, even that would be questionable. According to some poskim, the whole thank you was okay. Thank you was not a bracha. Thank you was a nothing. So that would be mutter all the time. According to the Machmirim, who said a thank you is considered to be a bracha, I'm not sure there would be a difference. I don't know. I'm not sure there would necessarily be a difference. Again, the Ribbis Drama is only the Rabbanim. So, Safik Rabbanim. Okay, so we have other Tzadal Mahakal. But again, different opinions
I
about this.
Let's say, it's Sunday morning, I'm going to Shir, and I want a cup of coffee. Right. So I borrow 50 cents from a guy to get a cup of coffee.
Right. And I say thanks.
And I say thanks.
You mean the thanks, it's more...
$10,000 loan and 50 cents for a cup of coffee, I'll give you...
So then you should say, so then... You're not asking him to get you the cup. If you ask him to get the cup of coffee, then the mamash, the thank you is for the tircha of filling you up the coffee. That's true. But if you just ask him for a quarter, 2 quarters, whatever the price is.
Two quarters.
The economy. So yeah, for the 2 quarters, you want to say that the saying thank you is so flippant.
I think that, I don't need to speak to anybody, but I think that was Andy's question. Is there a threshold amount where it's just like, it's sort of like, just like $9.98
came back. Right. Maybe. I feel bad. I don't want everyone to walk away from the shiur having developing poor midos around here. No one's going to say good morning to each other. No one's going to say good Shabbos. No one's going to say thank you anymore. So these are the things we should have a marvelous midos tape for the Ribbis shiur. Ribbis is trying to make us into more gam lechasad, not less gam lechasad.
Why is there a law? I'm not repaying him then. If he gives me 50 cents, I say thank you.
But Ribbis is also, even if it's not b'shas piron, let's say if I borrow $100 from you and then before I actually pay back, I let you live in my house or something, that's also Ribbis. Ribbis, it can be violated, the Ika Ribbis can be violated from any time the loan takes place until the loan is paid back. We're going to talk about in a moment about Ribbis Mukdemis and Ribbis Mukheris. Sometimes you can have lower levels of Ribbis that may even precede the loan or that may even follow the loan. But anything that's within the state of being of the Chov, that's for sure considered to be a problem of Ribbis.
In the Dovah Sof, anytime you do something for me and I say thank you, and in a year I'll return the favor.
No, a favor is not a loan. A loan means I'm lending you money or food that's going to be not returned. But if I lend you my car, that's not a halva. Lending a car is a she'ela because hopefully you're going to return me the same car. But if I lend you, let's say, food, right? If I lend you, you come to my house and say, can I borrow 3 eggs? So then that's considered to be a halva. We'll talk about that sub. We'll talk about that a little bit later today, maybe, or next week. That's considered to be a halva. Halva is defined by any time I give you something that you're not going to give me back that same object. You give me back something else in its place, that's considered to be a halva. Any time that you plan on giving me back the same object, that's considered to be a she'ela. In English, it's confusing because in English, you use the word borrow in both scenarios. But in Lashon HaKodesh, they're two different words. One's halva and one is a she'ela.
So if you lend me 3 eggs, right, and I say thank you,
right,
and tomorrow I come back and bring you 3 eggs, I was just over Ribbis?
Well, that was Ribbis. According to those who say that thank you is a Ribbis drawing problem, yes. And guess what? The good news or the bad news is that even without the thank you, may have violated Ribbis because that there's an issur what's called saw basal, which we'll get to in a minute. So, that whenever you borrow money or objects that are not going to be returned, that actual object, you have entered into a relationship of a malva and lova, and now one has to be careful with all of Hukas Ribbis. So again,
he just said 3 eggs for 3 eggs.
That may be, there's 3 eggs, no, so his example was, that the official example was 3 eggs for 3 eggs and a thank you. So according to the thank you people who say that's a problem, that's Ribbis Devarim. But I'm saying even forget the thank you, we're talking about cranky people.
Why is
people.
The she'elah was eggs for eggs?
No, because you're not returning the same eggs. If you wanted to borrow eggs because you wanted to put, you need an egg for your Pesach plate and you weren't going to eat it, and then you can eat back the same egg, that's not called a she'elah. That's called a she'elah, not a halva. But if you can eat the eggs, that's a pasuk in Chumash. The Torah says, Es kas b'chol lo sitin lo b'neshech uvim marbis lo sitin ochlecha. So the Torah speaks about ribbis for money and ribbis for ochlecha, for food. So food means that you're obviously giving the guy food, he's going to eat the food, he's going to eat back other food. So that by definition is considered to be ribbis. The Gemara tells a very, very strange story. The Gemara says that there was someone, one of the Amoraim, had the following Gevalika Kula. It's like, unbelievable Kula in terms of Ribbis. That they said that we can be Mata all of Ribbis. How can we Mata all of Ribbis? That just restructure everything rather than saying that it's a halva, just call it a she'ela. So he said, I'm allowed to lend you my car and I'm allowed to charge you for lending you my car. That's what we call renting. So there's nothing wrong with that. If I rent you my car, so since you're going to return to me the same car, so that's not called halva, that's called a she'ela. A she'ela with a price tag is called a schiras, that's called renting. That's the Torah is beferish. Im sachar b'bischar, you're allowed to do that. So one of the Amoraim said, what's the difference if I rent you my car and I charge you money for rent? I'll rent you my money. So I'm hereby renting you my money. I'm renting you $10,000. I'm charging you rent. I'm not charging you ribis. Ribis. Wow, ribis. No one violates ribis. It's rent money. It's dmei schiros. So the Gemara says one of the Amoraim suggested such an idea. And he actually carried this out. So the Gemara says that that was absolutely wrong. It was totally misunderstanding of ribis. And the Gemara explains the reason was because money is, by definition, I call the she'ela. That's ein lecha avah gedolah mizu. If I lend you the money, if I quote unquote lend you the money because you want to show off some fancy commemorative coin or something, so that may be a she'ela, maybe, because you're going to return me the same coin. But Kozman, you're planning on returning me other coins, other bills, so that by definition is considered to be a halva, not considered to be a she'ela. So the Gemara says that story did not have a very happy ending. The Gemara says that particular Amora, who thought of this gevalik echap, this tremendous tishkul Torah, so the Gemara says that he lost all his money, that he wasn't very much in business, and the Gemara says because he made a big mistake, and he was mata for himself, ribis deraisa, which was clearly not the case. So I don't want to, we got to be careful with the eggs. The poskim have a shaila, we'll talk about this when we get to Sabasol a little bit. When I lend somebody a car, so it's true that the car, the person is planning on returning the same car, so mitzad the car, that's considered to be a she'ela. But there's also an issue of gas, that when I lend a person a car, so it's understood, well, I'm giving him a car with a full tank, he's going to return to me a car with a full tank. So is that considered to be a halva on the gas? Because he's borrowing the gas, borrowing $25 of gas from me, and now he's going to return to me $25 of different gas. He's not going to use up the gas, then pour the used gas back into the gas tank. That's not going to work. For some reason, halva that should work, but it does work that way. So he's going to have to go to the gas station to get me more gas. So is that considered to be a separate, distinct halva on the gas? And if he fills up more than the tank was at the time, is that a problem of ribis? We'll talk about that later. We're making on that for other reasons, but that's how far ribis could potentially go.
But
that's the problem of Sobasa. It's exactly what we're going to talk about. I borrow eggs, now the eggs go up. So can I even return the same amount? We're going to talk about as we go on. I see a lot of surprised faces over here. Some things are really considered to be ribis. People are not aware of it.
Why can't someone just forgive the loan and then get a matana?
That may be a problem of ribis mucheres, that even to do things after the loan are potentially problematic. So that moves us into our next topic, into the topic of a ribis mukdemis and ribis mucheres. So up until now, we started out 2 weeks ago with ribis deraisa. That's the worst case scenario, ribis katsutsa. Then we move into all these cases of ribis derabanan, which are not katsutsa, but they all look like ribis a little bit. But the common denominator between everything that we've said up until now is at least there was a loan that was present for Shas Maisa. Either I give you the ribis at the time of the halva, I give you the ribis sometime during the interim of the loan, or I give you the ribis b'shas apiron, the time of the paying back of the loan. But the common theme is that in each one of these cases, the loan is still there. So now comes the Mishnah and says, you can have another kind of ribis. You can have what's called ribis mukdemes and ribis mucheres. So ribis mukdemes means that I'm giving you something before there was even a loan. I didn't even enter into a relationship of a malv and a lova with you, but I'm planning on doing that in the near future. So I want to make sure that I get this loan. So I come to you and I say like this. I said, listen, right now, Baruch Hashem, I'm okay, I don't need any money, but I think by the first of the month, I'm going to be a little short and bills to pay, so I'm going to come to you in a couple of days from now to borrow money. Right now, I'm fine. But right now, I'd love to give you just a little bit of a gift. You know, after all, let's get into that relationship with Malva and Lova. I'm going to throw a little gift into the deal also. So that's what's called ribis mukdemes. That if a person advances the ribis specifically because he makes a direct statement, there's a direct correlation between the gift that he's giving and the loan that's going to be taken in a couple of days from now, that's for sure problematic. That's ribis mukdemes. And again, it's not going to be deraisa, it's not katsutsa, the malva is not demanding it, the loan is giving it, whatever it is, but since the pre-ribis is being attached to the actual loan, that's a problem. Or ribis mucheres is also a problem. Let's say I borrowed $1,000 from you, and Baruch Hashem, I paid back already. But, you know, after I paid back, so then next week I decide to do something really nice for you, and I go and I buy you a $100 gift or something. And as I'm giving you the gift, I say, thank you, it was really a pleasure to be in business relationship with you, and thank you so much. Hopefully we'll be zoich in the future to be together. Hopefully I'll be zoich to lend you the money rather than vice versa. And here's the $100 gift. So that's what's called ribis mucheres. So again, the ribis, in the first case, preceded the loan, and in the second case, it postdated the loan. But lemaisa, there was some kind of a correlation between the quote unquote ribis and the loan itself. That's a problem. That's what's called ribis mukdemes and ribis mucheres. Are there any exceptions to this rule? Is there any point where this is not considered to be a problem? So the poskim say, yeah, it's not a problem if one can really break that relationship between the loan and the gift. So, Moshel, I want to borrow $1,000 from you in 20 years from now. So I can't give you a gift now. So there has to be some kind of a connection between the Ribbis Mugdemis and the Ribbis Mucheris and the loan itself. So the Poskim say that one condition is absolutely critical, that there's no mention of the loan. If at the time that I give you the gift, I say, I'm hereby giving you this gift so that you lend me money in a week from now, that's classic Ribbis Mugdemis. But if I don't do that, I just give you a gift that I don't say a word about it, that I'm coming to kvetch a loan from you. Or I borrow the loan, I pay back the loan already, now it's a month later, I don't say a word, I just come and I give you a gift. So I didn't connect it with any verbal connection between the loan and the Ribbis, so that's going to be mutter, provided that it's not clear from context that is in fact the case. That's what the post can say. If it's a matana meruba, if it's something which is so out of the ordinary, I don't have a relationship with you, I would never buy you all of a sudden I give you a gift certificate to the wife's mom for $10,000. Why? Because I'm about to borrow $5 million from you in a couple of weeks from now. So if I give you something which is so out of the ordinary, a matana meruba, so then it's clear from context something's fishy is going on over here. If I just stop, I give you a little a little something, a little token, a gift or something, so then you can argue maybe it's just I'm being nice, I'm being friendly or something. But if it's something which is out of the ordinary, that's considered to be like ilu, I was mefarish, so that's connected to the money. There is a further machlekes apelskin. What's the din if I don't mention that it has to do with the gift, but I have in mind that's really my intention. In my heart of hearts, I know, you know, nobody else knows, but I know in my heart of hearts, I am giving you this gift because I want to get something in return a couple of days from now. So that's a shaila. That may also be Ribbis Mugdemis. So Ribbis Mugdemis, Ribbis Mucheres, if it's clear from the context that it's part of the loan, that's for sure a problem. If it's a very large amount, so that by definition makes it clear, if I spelled it out that it's clear, that's for sure a problem. If it's something which Lefira owes people, it doesn't really look like Ribbis, but I, in my heart of heart, knows that I would never in a million years, I don't like you. I don't say good morning to you. I never say good Shabbos to you. So I would never give you gifts, even small gifts. I'm doing it so that next week I can go and get a loan from you. So that's a potential problem. That may be a problem of Ribbis Mugdemis. Folks can talk about this by banks. Very often banks give you these gifts. You can come in and they give you an alarm clock or something, whatever it is, so that you should put money into the bank. So if it's Goyish banks, it's not a problem. If it's Jewish banks, I'll have to talk about this about in general. We just touched on the bank issue last week a little bit, and we'll talk about it a little bit later. We'll talk about heteriskos, about some of these gifts that are given before the actual loan takes place. Just for walking into the door, they give you a gift already, so that may already be a shail of Ribbis Mugdemis.
What about something like a gift for services? You have a doctor to take care of you or whatever, so a month later you give them a silver menorah or something.
Right, that's okay. That you're not giving it b'toras the loan. I mean, if let's say the services, there was a payment that was due and you dilly dallied and you didn't pay the payment on time and now you're draining. So that's a problem of halva. Also, that's whenever I'm chayef to pay the money for something, even if it wasn't a loan, so that also becomes like a malvalova relationship. So if I'm giving you the silver menorah because you were so nice and you didn't ask me to pay the loan for another 6 months, to pay my services another 6 months, that could be a problem of ribbis. But that's usually not what happens. Usually the gift is for the fact that the person was just nice to you in the office. So that would be okay.
So what about gifted that you have a set value, like a doorman carrying bags?
But there's no loan. There's no.
Well, he's doing service, so
it's not a loan. A loan is either when literally he lends you $100, or if there's a real chiyuv to pay, indeed, a mamonis, he sends me a bill. It says, bill is due June 1st. So rather than paying June 1st, they come to the guy and say, listen, do me a favor. Let me pay him a little loan funds. Let me pay July 1st. And then in the interim of that month of June, I go and give him a gift. So that's the problem. That's ribbis. Yeah, if I used to always send him shalach manas and now I borrow $100 from him, so then I'm allowed, that would lechora be no worse than ribbis devarim, which is not a problem. Let's say I used to say good Shabbos to somebody, and now because he lends me $100, I'm still allowed to say good Shabbos to him, because the saying good Shabbos is not indicative of that a loan took place. So I think the same would be true for shalach manas. But let's say there's a guy in town, I never sent for the last 50 years, I never sent him shalach manas. All of a sudden he lends me $1,000, I go run and give him shalach manas. I think that would be a problem. I think that would be like ribbis devarim. I think that would also be a problem. I think if it's a type of person who you never used to, you're clearly giving it to him something more because of the loan, I think that would be a problem. I think so.
Is there also, again, a time, a year later,
Yes, that's what Tosfos talks about. Tosfos has a comment in Gittin and Dachaf. But Tosfos says, is there any end to Ribbis Mucheres? A guy, you borrowed money from a guy 30 years ago. So Tosfos writes, but something's got to be Yesh Gvul. It's got to be at some point, there's got to be a Gvul, unless the Poskim say, unless even 30 years later, if I link it to the loan, 30 years later, I still say to the guy, by the way, remember that loan 30 years ago? I want to finally give you back a matana. So if it's mamish, absolutely critical, absolutely clear that
if I say,
that's not a problem. That's not ribbis. If I say to somebody, this guy's a great guy,
no, because
that doesn't matter. I could say that even at the time that he lent me the money. I'm not saying to him. If I say to him, you're a great guy, you're the wonderful guy, I love you, that could be ribbis devarim. But unless my saying that to somebody else is going to cause that guy to get some, and may cause the guy to have to lend the other guy $100 also. So that's not doing him a tova, that's doing him a orech machis orech. So, I don't know, he'd probably rather tell people he's not such a nice guy. I don't know. So up until now, every case that we've been talking about are cases where the lova is giving something more to the malva. Either he's giving mamish more money, ribbis ketutza, or he's giving him services, or he's giving him, letting him live in his house, or he's giving him ribbis devarim, or he's giving him ribbis mukdemis, or everything.
How about a handshake?
No, I don't think a handshake.
Repay the money?
I don't think that's a brach. I think the handshake is just like kind of like symbolic of like no deal done or something. I think that I don't think that in of itself would be a problem for Rubens. Unless you hug the guy, you give him a za, you know, a bear hug he would never do before. Make the guy feel so good. I don't know. Maybe, I guess, different handshakes. I don't know.
What if you return some kind of services instead of returning the money itself? Like how do you?
You would have to value if you give him more than the value of the services of what he lent you originally. That would for sure be a problem for Rubens. It depends what it is. The guy lent me $100, so now I'll go and mow his lawn for him. So if my mowing of the lawn is worth $100, so then good. If I go ahead and I mow his lawn for the next 20 years, and still it's worth more than $100, so that would be a problem. That would be ribbis, yeah, absolutely. Gemara is befeirish that you can have ribbis from services. One, the Gemara discusses that if I say to you, you come and help me plow today, and I'll come and help you plow tomorrow. So when I say you come and help me plow today, so you really become a chuf to pay me the money now. And now tomorrow, if I come and plow for you, I may be giving you more. So the Gemara says depends. If it's all the same season, so it's all the same work, so it's $100, $100 is not a problem. But if I say you come and help me in the wintertime, and I'll help you in the summertime, I'm not such a big agriculture man, but if we come at different times when the plowing is harder to do, and therefore it would cost more money, so then I hired you out to do a $50 job, and now you're hiring me out to do a $75 job. So that's already a potential problem of ribbis. So the common denominator in all these cases is that at least there was something that was added, either tangible, intangible, there was some bracha, or something was added from the lova to the malva. So hopefully next week we're going to talk about another application of ribbis, which we alluded to before, we didn't get a chance to really touch on, and that's the topic called sa'basah. Sa'basah means sometimes you can have a situation of ribbis where a mamar say to you, I'm lending you 3 eggs, and return me 3 eggs. I don't want to hear ribbis. I don't want to touch ribbis. I don't want to have ribbis. So you return me 3 eggs. The problem is, who says those 3 eggs that you return me are worth the same amount of money as the 3 eggs that I gave you? So that may also be considered to be a problem of ribbis. So how does price fluctuation play into cases which at first glance don't look like ribbis, but may end up, believe it or not, to turn out to be a problem of ribbis also? I'll mention them next week. We'll talk about this.
Is there a rule that you say that I can have a relationship with the person?